He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as distinguished as Ken Pendergraft, and he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. But every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
And it is that time once again. Welcome back to the show. Go and get that coffee cup filled up. Grab yourself that comfy seat. Strap in. Just Blame Joey Live coming your way in just a moment. Got a little bit of the Who going on today. So let's get ready to rock and roll. Try to keep it on the rails here on the Independence Network.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audio Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls, and if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea, but we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot. And good morning out there in internet radio land. Welcome back to the show. Always glad to have all of you here with me again today on Just Blame Joey Live. It is Thursday, April 11th, and it's time for you to get your fill of cantankerous commentary with that political, social, and civic entertainment all backed up with facts and data that you always look for here at the Independence Network. Got over that midweek hump yesterday, kind of a gray and, I don't know, just icky day out there. I enjoy gray days, but for some reason, it was just gloomy. And so here we are on the downhill slide into the weekend, and we are going to do a little listener request today. Got a message in the biological mailbag with a list of songs from The Who, a classic band from the 70s. So we'll backstop today's show with that request. Started this show this morning with a little bit of Teenage Wasteland, and we'll keep on with songs from The Who today, with a bit of Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend on the playlist for Just Blame Joey Live. Jailbird Joey in the driver's seat for the next hour, and as always, working hard in your free time so you don't have to. Speaking of hard workers, Mr. David Iverson live on the Independence Network this morning, of course, joining me for the morning show, and the illustrious from high above brought you an all-new episode of Cowboy State Politics Live in the past hour. But if you missed this morning's episode of either the morning show or Cowboy State Politics, David does take a deeper dive into the state-sponsored sex toy party and drag show at a bingo event. With special guest representative John Bear, we talked about it on the morning show. Then he went straight to the source, got John Bear on his show, Cowboy State Politics. And David also covers reparations for slavery to people who were never enslaved. So make sure you're tuning in and catching up with any of that content you may have missed all across the Independence Network. So as always, I will invite you to come and sit with the warriors where the conversation is different. The conversation is going to be a little different today. Jailbird Joey swinging the bat hard from the non-hypersexualized, non-taxpayer-funded, regular biological female grandma old bingo hall this morning. You got to listen to all the content from this morning. That'll make more sense. And I am all ramped up and ready to get you that content you crave with a little bit of leading with our mistakes from my story yesterday, or the tutorial from yesterday on voter registration and voting in Wyoming. Our news story for the hour is going to be the NPR National Public Radio editor rebukes his own outlet's coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop, COVID lab leak, and Russiagate stories. And of course, we're going to take a trip to the biological mailbag before the hour's out. We will get to all that today while we enjoy the sounds of The Who here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous. Going to start off this just in. I had a listener, GLG Goddess, sent me this heads up. The most notable political advocate and member of the Simpson family who has unapologetically endorsed and supported Liz Cheney has passed away. Nope, not Al Simpson, not Colin or Evan Simpson, but world-famous political influencer and Super Cheney supporter O.J. Simpson is dead at age 76. And if you don't believe that the juice had the warmongering carpetbagger's back throughout her political career, let's take a listen to him in his own words.
Liz Cheney stands up for the truth. She may lose her position in the party. She may even lose her career as a politician. But that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I think the final nail in Liz's political coffin, she just won a not so coveted endorsement. She got the endorsement of, I kid you not, O.J. Simpson. Now, there's a clip. O.J. Simpson has actually a very funny Twitter feed where he posts videos of himself. I'm not going to play it. And the reason that I'm not going to play O.J. Simpson's commentary on my show is that O.J. Simpson is a double murderer who got away with his crime. And I just can't bring myself to give this guy airtime and listen to him and look at him on TV. However, it is a telling circumstance that O.J. Simpson is endorsing Liz Cheney here.
Liz Cheney stands up for the truth. She may lose her position in the party. She may even lose her career as a politician. But that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth.
Well, I got to say, posthumously, thanks for the help there, Stabby McSimpson. We sure do enjoy not having Liz Cheney around here anymore. And, of course, as we do here at the Independence Network, credit where credit is due. You were right. She did lose her position in the party, as well as her career as a politician. But we couldn't have done it without you and your glowing endorsement there, Juice. Some people say OJ did it. Some people say OJ didn't do it. But the truth is, now I'm not going to be the judge and I won't be on the jury. But I guess it's time for OJ to face a trial and some true judgment that even Johnny Cochran couldn't get him out of. But I wish you the best of luck there with the pending judgment, killer.
Well, bye.
Yeah, I couldn't said it better. Well, bye. So with that, we're going to slide into a little Pete Townsend, the guitarist from The Who, with a track from his solo project called Let My Love Open the Door. And that, of course, is unless it's an O.J. Simpson-like love on the other side of the door, then definitely do not open that door. Little Pete Townsend with Let My Love Open the Door. I guess the OJ version of that song would be, I don't know, Let My Love Open Your Jugular. What, too soon? Not for me. You know how I feel about feelings. I don't. Unfortunately, we'll never get to hear that song from OJ because the spirit of the juice is been set loose and won't likely be in the recording studio anytime soon. So moving on. And anyway, as we do here at the Independence Network, maintaining the standard of accuracy, honesty, and transparency, we do lead with our mistakes, and I'm going to do that right now. Voter registration tutorial from yesterday. The entire show is basically what's going on, how do you register, how do you vote, all this good stuff. If you didn't catch the episode, it'll be posted to the Just Blame Joey podcast at 2 o'clock this afternoon, so you can get all caught up, take notes. But I did state the Secretary of State, Chuck Gray, had not submitted these new rules for approval by the governor yet. And I was about 10 hours behind the reality of the situation. On Tuesday evening, Secretary of State Chuck Gray had submitted his proposed rule changes. And however, no approval from the governor had been issued, no signature there. So they aren't official rules. Whether they're going to be approved or not, I don't know. So with that, yesterday's information is still completely accurate with the potential changes pending because they have now been submitted. But Wyoming law, the voter rules, and the guidelines that the clerks are being told to follow have not changed from, well, since the law changed about voter ID and crossover voting. So everything I said yesterday, still accurate. I will definitely be updating you if any changes to the process do take effect and are approved, even if I'm a day late with the information as I was on this one. But remember, your county clerk and the elections director will know the current status of your registration and any applicable rules or processes that you may need to address. So as I said yesterday, give them a call as soon as possible. Know before you go either to register or to the polling place to vote. It's just a safe bet. And with that, we're going to move into our news story for the hour. We're trucking right along here. The clock's on schedule. All right. So National Public Radio editor rebukes his own outlet's coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop, COVID lab leak, and Russiagate stories. Yuri Berliner says Adam Schiff was NPR's ever-present muse on Russia collusion coverage. This story's from Hannah Panrick out of Fox News. I normally don't do Fox News or national stories, but this one, it's kind of right up our alley because, well, we're also a media source here at the Independence Network. To the story, NPR director Yuri Berliner has issued a lengthy rebuke of NPR's media coverage of major news stories over the past few years, such as the Hunter Biden laptop and COVID lab leak theory, and called out the outfit's efforts to damage Trump's presidency. Berliner, a senior business editor at the outlet, wrote in an essay for the Free Press that NPR's coverage veered off the deep end when Trump was elected in 2016. He cited its coverage of Russiagate and first said NPR hitched our wagon to Representative Adam Schiff of California, who peddled Trump-Russia collusion claims for years. Quote, Schiff, who was the top Democrat in the House Intelligence Committee, became NPR's guiding hand in its ever-present muse. By my count, NPR host interviewed Schiff 25 times about Trump and Russia. During many of those conversations, Schiff alluded to purported evidence of collusion. The Schiff talking points became the drumbeat of NPR's news report, Berliner wrote. After Robert Mueller found the report from Robert Mueller found no credible evidence of collusion, he wrote the Trump-Russia story disappeared from NPR's coverage. Berliner said the outlet pretended like it never happened. Well, let's see. Taking lies from the opposition party and funneling it through or forcing it through a government-funded, well, taxpayer-funded, government-directed, state-sponsored media source, and it turns out to be all lies. Not surprised. Probably the only way they could get any dirtier or, I don't know, off the mark is if it's that regular mainstream left-wing media who does it purely for money. But of course, NPR does it for political points for their preferred candidates. Anyway, back to the story. Before the Durham Report, TV networks allowed Russiagate booster Adam Schiff to claim evidence of collusion on a regular basis. Berliner also pointed out NPR's decision to turn a blind eye to the Hunter Biden laptop story in 2020. Oh, it's okay, NPR. The courts have still to this day turning a blind eye to that. Quote, the laptop was newsworthy, but the timeliness journalistic instinct of following a hot story lead was being squelched. During a meeting with colleagues, I listened as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists said it was good we weren't following the laptop story because it could help Trump in the end, he wrote. When the New York Post first reported on Hunter Biden's laptop in 2020, NPR infamously issued a statement as to why it wasn't covering the story. At the time, a popular narrative in the liberal media was that the laptop was a possible Russian disinformation operation. Russia, 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 Russia. Ah, you liberals. But its contents were later verified by multiple outlets that previously cast aspersions on it. Oh, aspersions. They spelled it wrong. Quote, we don't want to waste our time on stories that aren't really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure fiction, NPR's statement said. Well, looks like you're sounding a lot like Rachel Maddow. We only run stories and sound bites that are the truth, and it's unfair to our listeners and our watchers and our readers that they have to listen to. Hey, news is news. Now, you can provide commentary. We don't believe this to be accurate. We are still investigating the legitimacy of this. I provide commentary for a living, but I admit it up front. Everybody knows what they're going to get from me because I don't claim to be a journalist. I only claim to back things up with facts and data, which looks like most of the news in the mainstream don't do, and NPR is definitely having some trouble with. So NPR is under fire for claiming Hunter Biden's laptop story was discredited by intelligence in the U.S. Quote, it wasn't a pure distraction or a product of Russian disinformation, as dozens of former and current intelligence officers suggested. The laptop did belong to Hunter Biden. Its contents revealed his connection to the corrupt world of multi-million dollar influence peddling and its possible implications for his father, Berliner continued. Berliner also pointed out NPR's coverage of the COVID-19 lab leak theory, which he said the outlet was supposed to ignore, similar to the Biden laptop story. The notion that the virus may have leaked from a Wuhan virology lab in China was dismissed as right-wing claptrap before ultimately being accepted as the least plausible theory in the mainstream media. Well, I think it was Spock who said, I'll have to check with David Iverson, but when all other possibilities have been exhausted, even it is the unlikely that must still be true. Something like that. I have to get David's take on that. But yeah, just because it's the least possible story doesn't mean it's not what happened. Watch CSI once in a while. Follow the evidence. Don't make the evidence fit your story. Anyway, story goes on. We're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do cover in a wide range of challenging stories. We believe that inclusion among our staff, with our sourcing and our overall coverage, is critical to telling the nuanced stories around this country and the world. NPR spokesman directed Fox News to a memo staffed by Editor-in-Chief Edith Chaplin. Well, I'm glad they're believing in inclusion there. Maybe that's why the news is all screwed up. Just get the people that want to write that fit all of the different, you know, portions of the spectrum we need. Don't bring in people that know about truth and writing and investigating. Let's make sure we have one of everything so our DEI program is well-funded. Ridiculous. She also concluded that she was proud of the organization's work and lauded NPR as one of the most trusted news organizations in the country. Quote, let's not forget that the reason we remain one of the most trusted news organizations in the country is that we respect people's ability to form their own judgment, she added. Well, if that was true, then of course we would have gotten the whole story backed up by facts and data, and they would say, please fact check us and then make up your own opinion. Nope. They drive narratives on NPR and across the mainstream media saying, this is the truth. We're going to plant seeds of disinformation in your mind and you must follow us. Or, you know, of course, we're going to get on social media. We're going to try to discredit you or embarrass you there. We're going to dox you. We're going to threaten you. We're going to pull you out of school board meetings with FBI agents and call you terrorists. Way to go, NPR. But it's state-sponsored media. What do you expect? You could literally not have a less patriotic, transparent, or for the people, by the people institution than state-sponsored media. Now, let's talk about state-sponsored media here in Wyoming, wasting tax dollars. On your dime, they put this crap out, but it does happen here in Wyoming. I love that argument. Oh, it doesn't happen here in Wyoming. Oh, our stuff is good. Nope. Wyoming is not immune, and we do have Wyoming Public Media that has somehow officially partnered with Wyofile, at least to cover the legislature and any of the actions within the legislature. You can go to their Wyofile's Facebook page or their website, and they'll have something called The Roundup, where somehow they've partnered with the government branch or the government arm, media arm, Wyoming Public Media. And I just want to know, when was that approved or even discussed? Where was the open public bid for a public-private partnership, the contract, the association, the taxpayer money that goes to NPR, Wyoming Public Media, that is now subsidizing Wyofile? I don't ever remember a conversation about that. Another thing that falls under the executive branch and should be laid at the feet of Governor Gordon, just like bingo parlor sex parties that apparently he doesn't have a problem with his Department of Health sponsoring. So, I don't know. Is wildfowl where you want your hard-earned tax contributions going is really the question. And if so, where do we open up that process to make it fair and equal to all media outlets? Who's going to partner with the state-sponsored media? Or the bigger question, why do we even have state-sponsored media here in Wyoming? Really, who are these people? Wildfowl, come on, got to tell me, who are you? That's right, Wildfowl. Please tell us, who are you? We need to know. Are you a charitable, tax-exempt public good like you claim on your Facebook page and your Secretary of State registration? Are you a, a hideaway for Liz Store to, sock away a bunch for money and own what I guess some people consider a source of journalism in the state? Or are you partnered with Wyoming Public Media, which would be interesting because as you claim to be a charity, a nonprofit organization, you can't receive any taxpayer funds unless you're violating the Constitution. So we're going to have to look into that and find out who you are there, Wildfowl. Interesting point. Saw a story out of Wildfowl the other day. I guess their managing editor is named Josh, Jason, Wolfson. So it looks like the Cowpie and Wildfowl both have a Wolfson at them. And not surprising as the quality or reliability of their content suggests, I don't know if they're related. I'm not going to make that claim. I have no evidence of that, but I don't know. Maybe it's something in the genes from way back in the Wolfson days. Who knows? But anyway, I got me a freshly poured hot cup of Jailbird Joey Java, which means it must be time for the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Going to dig deep today, see what we got. Couple things on top. Got that heads up on the juice being loosed from his mortal coil from GLG Goddess earlier. Kick the show off with that. And let's see. Okay, here we go. Jailbird Joey, how do I find out who is running for office, who has already dropped out, and where each of these candidates is running or what seat they are running for from? Well, that's an anonymous one, so we'll leave it anonymous. We don't. I've been trying to keep track, keep a list or a spreadsheet going, who says they're running, who says they're not running. It's a little all over the place. And we really won't know for sure. We can take people at their word for it. And, you know, we get statements coming out all the time. Dave Kinski announced yesterday he's not running for the Senate. Albert Summers announced during the session that he's not running for the House again. Fred Baldwin said he's not running again. Afi Ellis said she's not running again. Jared Olson said he's running for Afi Ellis. It just gets a little trying to keep up with, you know, each of these candidates. The only way to really know is to wait till the end of May when the filing period closes and check the Secretary of State website to see, you know, who's filed for office. You can click a little button on the Secretary of State's website, pull up the Elections Department, go over to candidate filings. And it's not that you have to wait to the end. It will update every day as the filing period opens, which I believe is on the 15th of May. But if you want the final list of who's running where, just go to the Secretary of State website under elections. Should be a link there for 2024 candidates, candidate filing, and they should start updating that as filings come in. But as far as where they're running at, it may just, I don't remember the Secretary of State website print out very clearly right now in my mind. I don't know if it says the counties or the areas that those House districts and Senate district cover. It may just have the district number. So you might have to cross-reference with the legislative seat listed on the Secretary of State's printout to the WyoLege website, WYOLEG.gov. That is our Wyoming State Legislators website. And down at the bottom, I believe onto the right, maybe the left, I don't know, it should have a tab called Legislators. It's at the bottom right. And if you open that, it'll say representatives or senators. And not only will it list who's currently in the seat, but what district number it is. And then further to the right of that series of columns, it'll tell you what counties those districts cover. I just don't know that the Secretary of State listing includes all of that info, but you can check that legislative representative and senator link at the WyoLege one. And always use, I double check, I use something called the Wyoming Legislative District Finder. That's at experience.arcgis.com, experience.arcgis.com. And that really, it brings up a map and you can hover over it and it'll tell you, you know, where the lines of that district are, who's in that district. You can type in an address and it'll tell you who the senator or representative from that district is. You can zoom way in and look exactly where the lines for that district is. But if you're just interested in counties, you could probably cross-reference that data with the WyoLege legislative listing. And that's where I'd recommend everybody start their pre-election campaign work or research work. Look at who's currently in every seat, whether they're running or not, but know who's running, know who's currently seated so you can research their voting record before all the announcements come out. So you already have half your work done by the time you know who's running. Might you waste a little bit of time researching somebody who's not running? It depends on how you look at it. Yes, that could be a possibility. But if somebody has a particularly bad voting record and then someone else is running for office and says, you know, that Senator so-and-so was such a great guy, did so many great things, and that should be alarm bells for you going, I'm not going to vote for you if you're supporting or touting the guy that did this over here. Or also, you'll become familiar with what those bad bills look like, sound like, the false titles that they give them, and your radar is up. So when your representative or your senator says, I've got this good little bill here, and it's titled blah, 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 then I'll say, wait a minute, no, I've heard that name before. I've heard the title of a bill like that before. And so you'll be fully prepared. So I don't think it's a waste of time doing the background research on people who end up not running, because you get that toolbox built where you can say, nah, I understand the lingo now. I understand the processes now. And guess what? They're slinging crap at us and calling it cheesecake. So anonymous, there's no solid list right now. We'll probably talk about it more here on the Independence Network. Maybe get myself, David Iverson, and Ken Pendergraft together and cross-reference our lists with each other. But I don't like to put out anything as a for sure until it's for sure. And the only thing I know for sure is that list won't be finalized until the end of May. Again, yeah, Kinski said he's not running. I wouldn't be surprised that he's not actually running. Not a lot of people do that. Oh, I'm not running. And then, oh, at the last minute, I changed my mind. But I like something a little more solid than he said, she said, Facebook, or anything coming from Wyophile or the Cowpie. So thanks for that. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on with the elections. Going to jump back into a little bit of the Who, talking about my generation here on Just Blame Joey Live. And when we get back, it's time to go down to the basement and see what Les is doing.
People try to put us to town,
talking about my generation,
just because we get around,
talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful,
talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old,
talking about my generation.
Try to dig what we all say.
I'm
not trying to cause a big sensation.
I'm
just talking about my generation. We all
a little bit more of the Who today here on Just Blame Joey Live. Going to play them out through the rest of the morning. Got about 20 minutes left in the show, so we're going to get on with it here. Got a, while we're talking, message from the illustrious from high above. How blessed am I in the middle of doing my show? He takes time from his research to say, hey, here's the quote you were talking about, which proves one thing. Not only does Les listen to my show every day, David Iverson listens to my show every day. Absolutely awesome. But yeah, David Iverson writes, quote, if you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Yes, it was Spock referring to the... Now, I didn't make the statement. I said there was a quote out there, something like this, and I thought it was Spock. So I don't have to lead with a mistake on that one. But David Iverson clearing that up for us also writes, it was Spock who said he was quoting one of his ancestors when actually it was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes, who originally said it. Now, that's got to be a perfecta right there. I know that David Iverson is a huge Star Trek fan and also a big fan of Sherlock Holmes. So not surprised that he knew all the history on that one. Kind of why I referenced we'll have to talk to David Iverson about it later. But I guess we'll do it now. He wrote that to me and just, wow, that Spock quoted Sherlock Holmes. And I referenced David Iverson. It's kind of funny how things work out like that. But just so you know, if you listen to the morning show and you listen to Cowboy State Politics Live this morning, we really got into that whole drag queen bingo, whatever. Mostly the concern about tax dollars being spent to have a drunken sex party. Those documents, all of the provable facts and data on that are up on David Iverson's website, www.cowboystatepolitics.com. So run on over there and check them out. You can, if you're listening on your computer right now on the Independence Network, you can just open a new tab and the sound should keep playing while you're taking a look at cowboystatepolitics.com. So thanks for that, David. Not only do I love the fact that you're helping out, I love the fact I'm a huge fan of yours, man. I love that you're a listener of Just Blame Joey Live. Well, folks, I thought it was my sciatica. I thought it was my sciatica acting up all of a sudden, but it turns out the immediate pain in my ass is actually just another note from our favorite liberal freeloading mama's basement dweller, Les. We're going to jump into what Les has to complain about today. Les writes, "Jackass, you really think anyone is going to listen to you on how to register and how to vote, do ya? You magatards," that's nice, Les, "think you're so slick trying to dupe people into voting for your orange asshat or confusing them with so many lies that they end up not being able to vote or wanting to vote. You should be charged with election interference and thrown in jail for your misinformation on voting in Wyoming. Voter intimidation is a serious crime, and you are absolutely guilty. Stop attempting to disenfranchise people with your lies. You're definitely not going to trick me and all of the other intelligent voters out there, but nice try." Well, let's just, first of all, I do enough horrific stuff in my real life, or at least have done enough, where you don't have to make things up. My moniker here is Jailbird Joey, because I already know what I've done that will send me to jail, and I've done that. And I've been honest about it. So, yeah, I think we can wrap this one up pretty quickly here, Les, especially as you've provided absolutely no examples of what you're ranting about. You didn't say, you said this and it is wrong, and here's a reference to where it is. So let's start there, Les. What did I say that was so wrong or fear-inducing or intimidating, illegal, or disenfranchising? Can you tell me? Can I get another email from you before the day's out? I don't think so. Usually you don't answer any. I know you won't answer this question because you never do. But let's get into what actually came up yesterday in the show a little bit. And you can just hide there in mommy's basement and not respond as usual. But since you provided no facts, let me tell you what I talked about. And at 2 o'clock, that episode will be posted to the Just Blame Joey podcast. And you can listen. People can listen and see if you can draw out either where I'm lying now or where I committed a crime, as Les says. Yesterday, I pointed people to the Wyoming registration form for voting. It's a government document. It's a fact. I didn't say it's a good form. I didn't say it's a bad form. I didn't say you should check the Republican block. I didn't say anything other than this is the form. This is where you find it. And it should tell you all the requirements for registering to vote currently. So that's a fact. I don't think I can go to jail for pointing to a government document. I explained the difference in voting and registering to vote. Those are two different processes. It's a fact that those are two different processes. There are different requirements. Probably a more stringent requirement to register to vote because you're saying, I am this person. I live in this district. I should get this ballot. And here is the evidence of that. When you go to vote and you present voter ID, all you're saying is, I verify that I am the person that I say I am who is already registered to vote. So again, Les, I don't know how that's voter intimidation or disenfranchisement. It's clarification of the process that sometimes gets confused and, you know, helping people to exercise their franchise by being prepared beforehand. I also highlighted the difference between voter ID requirements and documents needed to register. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people are confused. And like I stated at the beginning of this show, there's been a submission from the Secretary of State to kind of narrow some of those rules and really focus on, hey, we need this to prove that you're an American citizen and a resident of Wyoming. So that's also a fact, Les. You have 9 or 10 different pieces of ID you can vote with, but those pieces of ID won't necessarily be sufficient to register you to vote. So again, I don't know where that's a crime that I should be thrown in jail for, but okay. See, what else did I tell? I laid out the timelines for registering, changing party affiliation, voting absentee, voting early in person, and voting at the polls on election day. That's not my opinion. I didn't say the specific days that those things would happen, but there are statutory timelines for things. 20 days is the open voting cycle for absentee voting. That's not my opinion. That's a fact established in law. And what I really pointed to was make sure that you know. Don't take my word for it. I'm telling you, there are different dates and different time frames for all these different things. And the big one now is the May 15th deadline for changing party affiliation. Yes, I set a date on that because it's unquestionable. So these are all facts, Les. Also, my whole, what'd you call me? Trump, whatever. Trying to get my orange guy either elected or scare people into not voting. I never endorsed a candidate. I have not come out and endorsed any candidates this season. And I didn't suggest that anybody not vote, or did I attempt to influence anybody to register in a specific party or not register in any given party or register at all. I didn't say or imply any of that. I don't think I even mentioned Donald Trump yesterday. And it would be a waste of time if I did. Even if I support Donald Trump for president, even if I'm going to vote for him, even if I'm going to endorse him, there's no point in making a point of it on this show, especially when I'm talking about procedural registration and voting issues. Because Donald Trump won Wyoming by over 70% last time. He doesn't need my help. He's going to do just fine when he's on the ballot. He's also not on the ballot for the primary. So everything we're talking about right now really doesn't apply, because all of these dates and timelines mostly affect the primary. The general, everybody knows what day that election is going to be. It's the same day nationwide. So Les, once again, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll admit I did make a call to action. I did ask people to do one thing, a couple of things, actually. I asked them to be informed and prepared by looking up that voter registration form. I didn't provide it for them. I did ask them to look at the information available on the Secretary of State website, their county clerk's website. Ultimately, and I repeatedly stated, don't wait. Know that you know. Know before you go, and get in contact with your county clerk and or their elections director before the 10th of May, and preferably before the end of this week. I did say, hey, do it today. Do it before the end of this week so that you can confirm the status of your registration, your party affiliation. You can check the accuracy of your current address. Know all of the balloting options available to you, whether it's absentee, early in person, or at the polls, as well as what polling location does your address put you at. Because if you show up to the wrong polling location, they don't have a ballot to give you. So everything I said was informational based on all the complaints I've heard about people aren't ready to vote. People don't know what's going on. Things are changing too fast for people to keep up. I didn't make any kind of endorsement. I did the opposite of what I think you're accusing me of. I beg people, even if you disagree with me or you like the fact or don't like the fact that we should be making sure people are registered at their address, where they live, they're actually citizens of the United States, and they do so in a timely manner so they're prepared and their clerks and their clerk staff have time to address their issues. Don't wait till the day of the election. Don't wait until it's too late. That's embracing voter involvement, not intimidating voters not to be involved. So, of course, again, I started today's show before I even got your email, Les, with correcting the minor error in my tutorial from yesterday, and it was very minor. It's a question that has been submitted and still pending, so really changed none of the information that I put out yesterday. All of it's still accurate, with potential changes coming in the near future. So, Les, I don't care if anyone's going to listen to me on how to vote, as you accuse me of. And I really, I don't know. I would hope that anyone who heard yesterday's show or will hear yesterday's show would follow the standard that we live by here at the Independence Network, which is don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Look it up. Make a phone call. Know that you know. And all I did or intended to do was point out where to look, where to find that information online, while I all but begged people to call their own county clerk to confirm everything well in advance of any election. So there's no surprises, no disappointment, no frustration, and absolutely no disenfranchisement, because that's what happens when people feel slighted and they feel irritated and frustrated over the process that they didn't take the time to understand. It ends up in disenfranchisement. They get pissed off and they go home without voting. And I'm trying to actively avoid that situation. Yeah, I get it, Les. Your Trump derangement syndrome has peaked, especially this year, presidential election year. But all your rational fears and emotional or cognitive immaturity don't constitute any violations of the law or of any social standard on my part. And I totally understand that you couldn't possibly understand. But if you feel so strongly about it, please do file a complaint, a formal complaint, with the Secretary of State's office, the Carbon County Sheriff's Office, and the Carbon County Attorney, stating that you have evidence that I have committed voter intimidation so that I can be, quote unquote, thrown in jail for my misinformation on voting in Wyoming, as you stated. And I beg that you do that, Les. I will stand up and prove that wrong, no problem, in a court of law, in a formal investigation. But when you have a complaint, like you said, of voter intimidation, which is a very real crime, there's three places it goes. It's a violation of Title 22, so it's within the wheelhouse of the Secretary of State. You can easily file a formal complaint there. Investigations of violations of election code always go to the sheriff, and the person that decides to prosecute is the county attorney. So I beg you, Les, throw your words around all you want. I love having you here. I love being able to just shut you down in a heartbeat over the BS that you spew. But if you're serious, get me charged with something. Not a problem. I don't know what else to say. Anyway, here we go, Les. You're not going to fool anybody. You're not going to fool me. And I don't think we will be fooled again with a little bit of The Who before we send it on home here on Just Blame Joey Live.
She may even lose her career as a politician, but that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I think the final nail in Liz's political coffin, she just won a not-so-coveted endorsement. She got the endorsement of, I kid you not, O.J. Simpson. Now, there's a clip. O.J. Simpson has actually a very funny Twitter feed where he posts videos of himself. I'm not going to play it. And the reason that I'm not going to play O.J. Simpson's commentary on my show is that O.J. Simpson is a double murderer who got away with his crime. And I just can't bring myself to give this guy airtime and listen to him and look at him on TV. However, it is a telling circumstance that O.J. Simpson is endorsing Liz Cheney here.
Liz Cheney stands up for the truth. She may lose her position in the party. She may even lose her career as a politician. But that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth.
Yeah, I had to play that one more time. Special request in the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag from Pam up in Gillette. Hey, will you play that OJ clip again? I didn't quite hear it. If you missed it again this time, Pam, today's show is going to be posted tomorrow at 2 p.m. on the Just Blame Joey podcast, and it'll be there for eternity in perpetuity, whatever you want to call it. And you can listen to that clip all you want. I don't have a problem with sound clip being in there. And if you wanted to hear the rant that I went off on about announcing the death of O.J. Simpson, you can go ahead and pick up that podcast post tomorrow. It'll be in there. Let's check on the clock here real quick. All right, got just a few minutes left. Don't forget, right after Just Blame Joey live today on the Independence Network, we're going to hear from Paul Harvey for just a minute. Then we'll get on to the Ramble Room with Ken Pendergraft. And right after that, we'll have the best of Wide Right Turn coming at you this afternoon. Tomorrow in the same time slot, we're going to have another great episode of The Hair Affair with Christine, and then a brand new episode of Crosstalk Live. During Just Blame Joey Live, we will have a brand new episode of Wide Right Turn, extra long episode, 2 hours. I still got to play with the schedule a little bit, so keep an eye out. Keep the Independence Network playing in the background so you don't miss any of that. Tom Kelly and myself, we go over the interesting comparisons of the cowboy ethics and the code of the West versus the actions of some of our legislators who love to tout their Wyomingism and the code of the West, but there's a little hypocrisy in there. So that took about 2 hours to get through because there are 10 of those, and we hit every single one and we hit them hard. Don't forget, if you happen to have a little bit of free time and you're into the written word, the Independence Network does have an articles page. Go to www.independencenetwork.us. And click on articles and you'll see all of the opinion, statements, positions, and concerns of not only regular Wyoming folks like yourself, but some of the opinion makers, politicos, and legislators here in the Cowboy State. And if you're interested in having a letter of the editor, a question, concern, complaint, comment, critique of either this show or something you wanted posted on Independence Network articles, you can either send that to joey@justblamejoey.com or david@cowboystatepolitics.com, and we will make sure to review that and either get you on one of the shows or get you up on the website. Do remember that we replay our morning schedule every day right about 3 p.m. So if you missed anything this morning, you can catch it again this afternoon. It's just about time to shove off, and we're going to head on into a little bit of Paul Harvey here on the Independence Network. If you have any questions or concerns about any of the voter information I put out, go ahead and send me an email, or like I said, please call your clerk. Know that you know. I can't answer all the questions about all the procedures for every single county, as some of them do vary slightly, and you want to know that you know before you go, either to register or vote. Regardless of what Les says, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you where to look and who to call to know that you know. And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey. And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey. Just Blame Joey Live is a production of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved, including the right to help people get registered to vote less. I don't care if you don't like it.